today. Amen. This third Sunday of a new year. I know it's chilly outside and the wind is whipping, but we're so thankful to see everyone in the house today. I know I talked with Mr. Grover on the phone last night, and he's had two surgical procedures in the last couple of days. If you're our guest today, I suppose Mr. Grover is our eldest, most senior member still attending the church. He is 94 years young. He's a World War II veteran and just a fantastic human, someone we all dearly, dearly love. But he's been health challenged the last several months and trying to get better and working hard to get better. And so he got an infection in his foot that really, really turned out to be a very, very serious situation, and didn't have proper circulation to be able to get any kind of antibiotic or any kind of medicine to the foot to do any good. So they did one surgical procedure that unkinked is my word, but got some blood flow, and where he was 30% circulation, they've got him up saying 86% circulation to his foot. So that's fantastic. It's fantastic. So they then went in and removed a couple of his toes to just get rid of that infection. And so I talked to him last night, and he told me he's doing great for a man with 10 fingers and 8 toes. He hasn't lost his sense of humor. He's hilarious. But we love Mr. Grover. So he's in Atlanta, Piedmont. We'll be there for a couple of more days, and then moving to a rehab facility, hopefully here locally, so they can help him get balance and get him on his feet again and doing well. And I know he will love to hear from you and just know that you are thinking about him. And then I saw sweet Melody Gordon come in this morning. I know she lost her mother this week, and that funeral is on Tuesday. But I love to see people. I certainly don't expect it, but when people have sadness in their life, I love to see them come to church, because I feel the same way. I don't know where else to go but to the Lord when I have things in my life that I wish they didn't happen. I want to be in the presence of God, because I get so much strength from what's happening in this room today. So we're just happy to have all of you today, and I'm going to jump back into another message in our Seeing 2020 series. We know it's a new year, and we're believing for a new us, but I think you know by now that there's nothing magic about turning the calendar page. Some of you are still dealing with the same things that you were dealing with in 2019. I know there's a lot of hype, a lot of excitement that comes with a new year, and I'm here for all of that. I want to use anything I possibly can to get you excited and get your faith up about all of the potential that is in your life and what God wants to do in your life. But here is the real, raw, unfiltered truth for all of us to realize. Nothing will change unless I change. Nothing will get better unless you get better. And if you get better and I get better, then the year will not matter, whether it's 2020 or 2021, if I'm focused on being the best me that I can be. And so we want to see it clearly. We want to have perfect perspective. I can't have perfect vision. I guess those days are gone. I'm well documented here on my newfound vision crisis and what I'm dealing with in my own life. And some of you have been there for a long time, so we're probably not going to get perfect vision, regardless of the surgeries, the LASIKs, the cataract surgeries, all of those things that they can do out there now. We're probably never going to have perfect vision in the natural, but I can have a better spiritual perspective. I can look at things differently than I have in the past. And last Sunday, we realized that we may be seeing either nearsighted or maybe farsighted or maybe even an astigmatism where everything is just blurry. But today, as odd as it may sound, I want to begin 2020 with double vision. I know double vision, it doesn't sound like a good idea if you've ever had that, if you've ever dealt with vertigo, if you've ever had some of those challenges, seeing two, seeing double, that's not a good thing. But give me just a few moments today and I think you will better understand what the Lord wants to say to us. 2 Kings chapter 6, beginning at verse number 8. If you want to turn in your Bibles or open that up on your smart device or even follow along on the screens, I want to teach you through this Old Testament story today and see how double vision can be a blessing to your 2020. 2 Kings chapter 6, beginning at verse number 8. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, "I will set up my camp in such and such a place." You have to understand, being at war with Israel was as common and as normal as lunch on Sunday. It seems like every single day they were fighting someone. They were at war with someone. I understand it was different times and they settled differences much differently than we do today, but this was very common. But it's common for more than one reason. These are God's chosen people, and their enemies were many. Everyone wanted a piece of Israel. Everyone hated Israel, despised them, and so they were constantly coming after them. And that's an important parallel because you and I are in spiritual battles with many enemies. We're trying to identify some of those things at the beginning of this new year. We're trying to make sure that we have clarity of exactly what it is we're fighting and what it is we're dealing with and what exactly is going on, so that we're not trying to fight flesh and blood, but we're dealing with principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and things in high places. My issue is not with other people. My issue is a battle and a war in the spirit. And so this enemy king is telling his plans. He's telling his officers. He's telling the men who carry out the battles for him. "Look, we're going to set up camp in such and such a place. We're going to go over here at this cross street, and we're going to set up an ambush there. We're going to go over there to that hillside, and we're going to lie in wait, and we're going to wait for the armies of Israel to come through there, and then we are going to take them out." I love what 1 Peter 5 and 8 said: "Stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." So here at the beginning of this message today, and at the beginning of this new year for all of us today, I want to go into 2020 well aware that the devil plays no games. The Bible said that he's come to steal and to kill and to destroy. We know he wants to ruin every good thing that's happening in our lives. We know he wants to get the best of our faith. We know he wants to destroy our marriages and control our finances. We know the enemy is up to no good, and it is an everyday battle. It is an every single day battle in our lives. But look at verse 9. "The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, 'Beware of passing that place, because the Arameans are going down there. Be careful.'" Elisha is the man of God that is being written about here, and he sends word, "Beware of passing that place, the direction that you are on right now, the course that you have charted, the path that you are that you are walking down right now. There is an enemy that is lying in wait. You cannot see him. You're not aware of him. You do not know he's there. I am warning you that the enemy has come to do harm in your life. I think a word to be careful is still a good word in 2020. I know the church has become all about blessing and breakthrough and spin around three times and name it and claim it, and there's nothing but good news, and I'm here for all of the good news. But listen, the devil hasn't retired. He didn't take an early retirement just as your spirituality came on the scene. No, he is still doing his very best to get the best of us. And sometimes we need to be warned. Sometimes the Sunday message is a warning for us that the enemy is about to try something, or the enemy is up to something, or the enemy has laid in wait. He's hanging around the next bend. And if we are not sober, if we are not diligent, if we are not careful about what the enemy is up to, then we may be ensnared or caught in trap, or we may find ourselves in a mess that we really do not want to be in. Is anybody all right with a word of warning in 2020 that I need to watch out for the enemy? Don't go down that road because it's a trap. Don't allow yourself to think that way because it is a snare that's trying to sap your spirituality. But you see, when you have a hard-headed generation, they do not appreciate advice. We don't want to be told anything because we know it all. We're the woke generation. We're the generation that cannot be told anything, that does not want to learn from the generation ahead of us their mistakes or what they may have. Let me just preach instead of meddling this morning. Verse 10, so the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. I love that. The king said, I heard what Elisha said. I heard what the man of God said. I heard the warning that he gave, but I just needed to see for myself. I just needed to find out if what he was saying was true. So I snuck down. I sent spies. And sure enough, there the enemy was, just like the man of God said that he would be. He proved him, not just once or twice, King James says, but over and over again. Time and again, the man of God warned the king of Israel, and he heeded that warning, and he walked carefully, and he walked humbly, and he survived in a place that the enemy thought to do him evil. Look at what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2 and 11. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not to be ignorant. We are not ignorant of his devices. Look at somebody and tell them, don't be ignorant. We can't be ignorant of what the enemy is doing. Someone has already traveled your road. Someone has already gone down that path, and they want to help you. They want to guard you. They want you to be careful with the direction that you are moving in. Verse 11, this enraged the king of Aram. Enraged and made the enemy king very angry. And so he summoned his officers and demanded of them, tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel? Who is the traitor among us? Who is telling my plans? I'm in this secret chamber telling my most trusted officers what the plans are, and somehow they know. We've not had one successful attack. We've not had one successful trap. We've not been able to ensnare them. We've not been able to get them off of their goal of victory. Who in the world is telling them what is going on? See, we're dealing with a very frustrated enemy because the Holy Spirit is leading us And he is navigating us around foolishness and trouble. That's why I want the Lord ordering my steps. Because if my steps are ordered by the Lord, the Bible said that the Holy Spirit will lead and guide us into all truth. I want to wake up every day saying, Lord, I want you to direct my paths today. I know it's Monday and I always go here on Monday, and it's Tuesday and I always go there on Tuesday, and I know what the schedule is this week, but Lord, you know what I do not know. You can see what I cannot see, and so I want you to order my steps and direct my path, because I don't want to be ignorant of the enemy's foolishness. I don't want to be ignorant of what the devil is trying to do in my life. It's all right that the enemy is frustrated. If he's frustrated, he's just going to try that much harder. But if I will stay faithful and keep doing what the Lord has called me to do, then the enemy can frustrate himself into a frenzy and do whatever he wants to do. But I'm going to stay on path and stay on course and keep following the leading of the Lord in my life. Is there anybody that wants to be led by God in 2020? Isaiah 26 and 3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. I love that verse. You will keep him in perfect peace. Who? The one whose mind is stayed on you. That's why this is not just a Sunday thing for me. This is a daily thing for me. I'm going to feel this on Monday. I want to feel this on Tuesday. I want to have this at work in my life on Wednesday. This is every single day, keeping my mind stayed on the Lord, keeping my mind focused, keeping my heart in the right place, not allowing me to look left or right or behind me or get distracted by anything going on in my life. I want to keep my mind stayed on the Lord. That's my prayer today. Keep us, Jesus. I know news is coming tomorrow. I know trouble is coming this week. I know there are things that are happening all around us, but if I can keep my mind stayed on you, if I can keep my heart focused on you. And they responded, they said, none of us, my Lord, none of us. But Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, he tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. We're not telling your secrets, king. We're not going and selling the information to our enemy, Israel. No. It's that man of God. It's Elisha. Elisha is telling the king of Israel what your plans are. How is that happening? I don't know. The enemy never understands how it works, but God is speaking to Elisha. Elisha is speaking to the people, and he is giving them ample warning. And so the king is so frustrated. He's forming weapons against them, but they are not prospering. He's bringing trouble into their life, but the trouble is not succeeding. He's bringing calamity into their world, but the calamity is not getting the best of them. Did the word not tell us that no weapon formed against us would be able to prosper? He didn't say that the weapon wouldn't be formed. Sometimes we see the forming of the weapon and we freak out. Our faith freaks out. We get beside ourselves just to know that the enemy has us in his crosshairs. Oh, the enemy can form the weapon all day long. The promise I'm standing on is that his weapon will not prosper in my life. Shoot your best shot, devil. I'm still standing. Come with your sharpest arrow. I'm still here. Do whatever it is you have to do. But if I will stay focused on Jesus and not your weapon, if I will stay focused on God and not the trouble in my life, then I am going to live 2020 victorious. Pastor Darrell may be fired up today because I've come with a word for someone who's focused on the weapon. You just can't believe the enemy would try this in your life. You just can't believe all of this would mount up in your world. You just can't believe that all of this would come into your life at one time. Listen, don't focus on that. Focus on the Lord. Focus on Him. Keep praying. Keep worshiping. Keep standing. Keep your mind stayed on Him. And He will keep you in perfect peace. Verse 13, go. The enemy says, the enemy king, go find out where he is so that I can send men and capture him. Go find out where Elisha is. Find out where this preacher is, this man of God. Go find out where he is, because I'm going to capture him. And then I'll finally get what I want. I'll get victory over God's army. And the report came back. He is in Dothan. Verse 14, then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. I want you to hear me carefully this morning. The enemy will always try to silence your source. Always. That's what the enemy's trying to do. He's trying to silence your source. He's trying to get you in a position that you can no longer hear from God. Frustrate you to the point. Anger you to the point. Offend you to the point that you cannot hear from God any longer. If I go take out the man of God, if I go and silence their church thing, then I'm going to be able. If I remove the hedge, if I remove the boundary that's set up in their life, then I'm going to get the victory over them. I'm going to conquer them. I'm going to defeat them. I'm going to put them down one final time. Listen, if the enemy can get you to quit church, if the enemy can get you to believe that you are too busy, newsflash, you're not any busier than anybody else. That's probably just the chaos of your life telling you you're so busy. You're not busy. You may be busy. We're all busy. But I mean, listen, the world is run by busy people. Anybody that's doing anything in this life is busy. But if I'm going to let busy keep me from the house of God, Or he'll try to get me offended at the pastor. Don't be mad at me. Please love me. I want everybody to love me. I'm not preaching at anybody. Don't have anybody in mind. I'm just telling you in January, because probably by March I will have said something that will offend you. But guess what? If you leave this church over offense, it won't be long before you'll be offended at the next one. I'm telling the truth. It won't be long before you'll be mad at the next one. Because the issue is not flesh and blood. It's not what I said. It's just the devil that just tries to drive a wedge and silence our source. If your source is hearing the word over your phone, it's amazing how your phone will get a bug that'll drain your battery right while you're trying to listen to the word. I mean, the enemy will do anything. You say, oh, that's really far-fetched, Pastor Darrell. Listen, don't be ignorant of his devices. He'll do anything. He'll try anything to silence your source. He'll get you focused on other people. But guess what? When you run from this group of people, you'll just find another group of people, and it'll be the same thing. It'll just be people. Because people are people. They disappoint us. They let us down. They hurt us. They wound us. People are people. I've got to keep my eye on the Lord. Keep my heart focused on the Lord. So I've got to decide right now that nothing will get my source. Nothing will compromise my ability to get in the presence of God and hear the word of God. I want to be an every Sunday Christian in 2020. I want to be in the house of God every opportunity that I get. This ain't a once a month thing for me. This isn't a once every 6 weeks thing for me. I want to get in the house of the Lord. I don't want to miss what God is doing. I don't want to miss what he is doing. I want to hear from God. So I have to protect the presence of God in my life. That is spiritual warfare. Protecting the presence of God. Protecting. Can I be a pastor for just a moment? You ought to turn off social media while the word is going forth. This ain't time for Candy Crush, tic-tac-toe, solitaire, or Tinder. See, I was raised old school. The only thing we were allowed to play with was a songbook. So we knew all the words to all the songs. We didn't bring Barbies and Ken dolls and G.I. Joe's. We had to sit and listen to the word. Imagine that. But now all these years later, I have a pretty good grasp of the word. I wonder why. Because I was raised hearing it. Parents wouldn't allow anything to silence my source, protecting the presence of God. Nowadays, we're so entertained, we can't even come and listen to 30-minute preaching without updating our status, checking in to see where everybody's at and find out what's going on. We are so addicted to our phones, and I get it, mine's in my hand all the time, but when are we going to set something aside because there are things that are more valuable than our status on social media? There are things that are more important than who's doing this and who's doing that. Can we just leave Harry and Meghan alone for just a few minutes? I don't know what's going on with them people. But I'm gonna tell you, if I was born a prince, you ain't gonna talk me out of that. Born with a Bentley, born with a Rolls, no, I'm gonna stay right here. Be who I was born to be. Another message for another time, but listen, that's not going to change, and it's not going to affect your destiny. It's interesting. It's fascinating. What in the world is going on? We love to eavesdrop into other people's lives, and social media provides us the perfect opportunity, but I have to protect the presence of God in my life. Maybe that's why the next 7 days you need to turn that off. Delete the app from your phone. When you re-download it, all of your stuff will be there. You'll see what everybody did, what everybody ate, what everybody wore. You'll see it all. All of their filters with their blurred faces and eyebrows on the back of their head. You'll see it all. It'll all be there. You won't miss it, I promise you. But what you will gain from being in the presence of God will last you all year long. Oh, Pastor Dale, you are preaching good. Talk to me, Noel. I hear you, baby. I have to protect it. I have to guard it. I have to remove the distractions so that I can hear from God. But let me talk to you about double vision. Verse 15, when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, notice this, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. He gets up early in the morning. Elisha's still in the tent. He gets up early. He goes out to stoke the fire, make sure the camp is, everything is good. Maybe he's going to start a pot of coffee or get some breakfast going. But as soon as he comes outside of the tent doors, all he can see are the hills full of the enemy's chariots, full of the enemy's horses. And all of a sudden, I hear him. It may look like I'm surrounded. All I see is that I'm surrounded by the enemy. And so he says, oh no, my Lord, what shall we do? We are surrounded by the enemy. What are we going to do? Elisha, wake up. Elisha, come out here and see this. The enemy is everywhere. I've never seen so many horses. I've never seen so many chariots. I've never seen so many enemy surrounding me. What am I going to do? My life is surrounded by trouble. My life is surrounded by circumstance. My life is surrounded by sadness and issues and all kinds of things going on. What are we going to do? Seems like the enemy has us right where he wants us. Same trouble of last year is threatening to hold us back this year. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You better hear me, because I feel like the Lord is about to do something for every single one of us in this room. And I don't want you to miss what he is going to do. You see, the devil does not need you in big sin. You're guarding against this and that, and the enemy doesn't even need you in that. He doesn't need you addicted to a drug or in some crazy, ungodly relationship. All he needs to do is get you paralyzed and frozen by fear, unwilling to make any moves or take any steps, scared to gain any ground in 2020, scared to break out of your tradition, scared to let go of your religious past and embrace this spirit call that is on your life. All he needs you to do is to be afraid, to be nervous, and now you are paralyzed, just like you were in 2019, already in 2020. But I'm calling somebody to break free. I'm calling someone to get delivered from fear. I know you see the enemy. I know you see his chariots. I know you see the weaponry of the enemy. I know he looks ominous and he looks strong, but hear me, there is an answer. Elisha says in verse 16, don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Don't be afraid. I know you see the enemy. It may look like I'm surrounded. I am. On every hand, they're everywhere. But what you don't realize, servant, is that those who are with us, those who are on our side, are more than those who are with them. It is likely one of the greatest revelations of the Bible. What is that? That God is bigger than anything we face. God is bigger. Bigger than whatever it is you're going through. He's bigger than whatever it is you're dealing with. But, no, Pastor Darrell, I'm facing this and I'm facing that. I'm dealing with so much. I have so much weighing me down. Listen, he doesn't deny or discount the presence of the enemy. The enemy, the trouble in your life, the circumstances you're facing, all of it is real. I'm not denying that. I'm not discounting that. I'm not telling you to ignore that. You've got to deal with it. You've got to face it head on, because that stuff is real in your life. What I want you to realize is that God is bigger than all of that. Verse 17, and Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord. What? So that he may see. Now, Elisha, I see just fine. What I see is my debt. What I see is my disease. What I see is my dysfunction. What I see is the crisis in my life. What I see is the pain. What I see are the problems that are... I see just fine. No. I want you to see more than that. You need double vision. And the Bible said that the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. It didn't say that the horses or chariots or weapons of the enemy went away. But now he had double vision. Not only could he see the enemy, but now he could see God's army. The hills full of fire surrounding their camp. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. I am surrounded by the enemy. You better believe it. I got enemy coming at me every day, every hour of the day. I know they're there. I know the devil is walking just as close to me as he possibly can. Bumps into me sometimes. Gets into my mind sometimes. Gets into my flesh sometimes. But devil, you need to get back, because the Lord that is in me, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I see you, devil, but I also see the Lord who is high and lifted up. I also see the goodness of God. I also see the power of the Holy Spirit. I've got double vision. I see my reality, but I also see spiritually. I see what I'm facing. I don't discount that. I don't deny that. But I've got double vision. I don't deny the enemy is there. Horses and weapons. I see the enemy. But keep looking and tell me what else you see. So her servant. I see hills full of fire. You see, double vision means I have a grasp of both worlds I live in. I live in the natural, and I live in the spiritual, supernatural. I'm not just living on this earth. I'm also walking in heavenly places. You say, you just crossed over into that stuff that's spooky for me. Just hold on. We are three-part beings, body, soul, spirit. You're so focused on the body that you're missing what God is doing spiritually in your life. Missing His power to work for you. I need double vision. I need a firm grasp of reality. But I also need to live in faith and know God is working for my good. Seeing the army of God didn't cause the enemy to go away, but it settled the question, what shall we do? Because when you see God so much bigger than your enemy, there's no question about what you're going to do. You're going to stand and see the salvation of the Lord. That's what you're going to do. Some trust in chariots and others in horses, David said, but we will remember the name of the Lord. I will look under the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. What was that question you asked a moment ago, servant? Well, when I first walked out here, all I saw was the enemy. And I wondered what we were going to do. Now that my eyes have been opened and I've got double vision, I'm not wondering what we're going to do anymore. I'm going to trust the Lord. Because God on my side is bigger. God on my side is greater. God on my side is more powerful. God on my side is stronger. God on my side is victorious. I know some of you are facing things you've never faced before. Some of you have reason to be nervous and worried, and what am I going to do about this? You just need some double vision. That's there, but God is bigger. That's real, but God is greater. The disease may be true, but God is a healer. God is a healer. My sweet mother, she'll listen to this podcast sometime today. Love you, Mom. She was diagnosed with cancer. She found out this week she was just accepted into a very important program at MD Anderson, and doctors that are expert in this type of cancer, the type of cancer that she has, only 1% of people get this cancer. I told her, we got to celebrate. You're finally in the 1%. I've heard about them for years. Wish it was for money and not for cancer. But when this thing first started, she just had a diagnosis. I don't even know that she had a complete diagnosis yet. But they had told her it was cancer. It was a tumor, probably the size of a lemon as it started out. She was laying in her bed, 3-4 o'clock in the morning, been asleep for hours. She was awakened. Lots on her mind, no doubt. Looking out in the hills of my life, and I see the enemy, his diagnosis, I see his trouble, I see all of his weapons, I see all of the stuff surrounding me. But she said, I wasn't afraid, I wasn't nervous. I don't know, I just felt like someone was in the room. And she was laying on her side, facing away from the bedroom door. And she said, laying there, I didn't turn over. I just raised my head and looked behind me. And she said, standing over me was an angel, a man dressed in white. And he was so tall that he was stooped, bending over. Couldn't get his head up above the seat, just stooped. And she said, I just turned and just watched and locked eyes with that angel while he just nodded, waved his flowing white garments, and eventually made his way out of the room. Listen, you'll go through chemo. You'll get bad news. You'll have a double mastectomy. They'll tell you everything's great, and then they'll find another couple of spots on your lung, and you'll go back and they'll talk about more chemo, or they'll talk about this program or that program. They'll talk about all of the enemy that are surrounding you in the hills of your life. They'll talk about all of the weapons that are trained on you and aimed in your direction. But what you will know that they don't know is they that be with us are more than they that are with them. What you'll know, because you have double vision, is that God is bigger and God is greater and God is more able to bring victory in your life. You just need double vision. Who wants it today? Who needs double vision in your life? If you need it, I want you to get on your feet. It may not be everybody, that's all right. It may just be one person on your row. It may just be somebody in the back, but I came to preach to somebody that all you can see is the enemy, and God is ready to open up your eyes on this third Sunday of 2020. God is ready to remove the scales so that you can see, so that you can see that his power and his glory and his victory and his authority and his name and his healing is greater than anything you could ever face in your life. I need double vision. I need double vision. You've heard it said, this is an open and shut case. You ever heard of that? It's just open and shut. It's one and done. When the enemy pursued them, Elisha prayed again. The first prayer was, Lord, open our eyes so that we can see how great you are. But verse 18, as the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, strike this army with blindness. So the Lord struck them with blindness, as Elisha asked. His second prayer First prayer was open our eyes so that we can see how big you are. Second prayer, Lord, blind the enemy so that they can't even see to do us harm. And you know what the Bible goes on to say? The enemy came down those hills and walked right past Elisha and his servant. That's what I need God to do in 2020. Blind my enemy, Lord, so they can't even see to put their hands on my life. Blind the enemy so he can't even put a finger on my marriage. Blind the enemy so he can't even come in and mess with my business or my... Blind the enemy so he can't even find my kids. Blind the enemy so he don't even know my address or how to bring his turmoil into my house. Blind the enemy so that I live a victorious life. Life with double vision. Double vision. Double vision. I want to see how big God is in my life. Father, I pray for people in this room right now. Oh, I feel you. I feel you. I know the enemy's there. I know he followed us to church. He's not waiting at the car. He came right on in trying to distract us and keep us from hearing this word, but he messed up. I heard it. Oh, there were so many things trying to keep me from this Sunday. So many things trying to keep me out of your house. The enemy tried his very best with work issues and family issues and house issues. He tried everything to keep me from hearing this word, but I heard it. And now my life will never be the same because I've got double vision. I don't have single vision. I don't just see the plight. I don't just see the turmoil. I don't just see the things that are hurting or paining or frustrating. I see you, Jesus. I see your fire in the hills of my life. I see your glory every day of 2020. I see your power. I see your leading. I see your directing and moving in my life. Open my eyes so that I can see. If I've been offended at anyone, I pray that you'd clear it out, cancel it out. If I've been offended, if my source is being compromised, if the devil's been lying to me about the man of God in my life, the word of God in my life, cancel it, Lord. It's a clean slate still in January 2020. It's all brand new. I'm beginning my year right now. Today, I'm going in to the remainder of this year, seeing clear. Seeing 2020, miracles of God, the breakthrough of God, the healing of God. I don't know what you're facing today, but if you're in this room and you've got sickness in your body, I dare you to raise your hands across this room. If you've got sickness in your body, if you've got torment in your house, you've got a teenager that's not acting right, you've got a marriage that's falling apart, you've got money that's a whole mess, I dare you to lift your hands up and say, Lord, help me to see. Help me to see. I need your healing. I need your breakthrough. I need your spirit to come and to arrest my life and to make the